This is the Brain, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Yes!
In the Great Hall of the Justice League, there are assembled the world's four greatest heroes, created from the cosmic legends of the universe. Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman, and those three junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hello and welcome to the 75th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I am your host, Dave Joe Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson. Hello, sir.
Good day to you.
Yes. Today we're going to be talking about all of the different incarnations of the classic Super Friends.
Holy shit. Sorry. It's a lot of stuff to cover.
Don't you mean holy shit, Batman?
I guess. Good point. Well said.
Oh man! I think his name is Lauren Lester that did Robin in BTAS. Yeah, I wish if I ever get an interview with him, I would love him to say that in Robin's voice. Holy shit, Batman!
And a bunch of other profane things.
Yeah, it's a bunch of other inappropriate things as well. Anyway, what have you been up to?
Oh, good lord! Why do you ask me such tricky questions? I have been doing a lot of different things. Let's see, outside I finally finished painting everything, every door frame, window frame, and everything that you can possibly paint outside I finished, and basically all the outside work is done except for maybe, I mean, I might have one day left that I have to spend outside. So that's almost done.
At least you saved money in Mexican labor.
Yes, I did. Well, that doesn't cost much money. let's see what else. One of the main guys at BTVA was apparently too busy this week to do a lot of stuff, so I was trying to post a bunch of news there, stay on top of the whole hub launch thing, writing a bunch of different stuff for you. But that only took one day. Not a lot, actually. I picked up the Red Alert figure, and I've just been watching a lot of cartoons.
I asked him to write up two formats, which are less than, like, 10
pages.
No,
it was the fact that I saved it to do all in one day. Two formats and six scripts all in one day.
That's your own fault. That's not my fault. That's your own
fault. Oh, and I've been going hoarse, trying to practice different voices and stuff like that. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Let's see, what have I been doing? Well, besides that, I interviewed for This Week in Geek. I talked to Johnny Young Bosch. That was very awesome. For those of you who don't know, he was Adam in Power Rangers. He's also the voice of Bumblebee in War for Cybertron, so that will be out sometime this week, I think. Let's see what else. It's funny, in preparation for that, I actually watched like three or four Power Rangers episodes. I watched the movie on DVD, and then I spent about 8 hours playing War for Cybertron as Bumblebee.
I would have shot myself in the face before I did that.
What?
Watch Power Rangers.
Hey, leave Power Rangers alone, damn it.
Oh my good grief.
It's cool.
It is not cool. It is the opposite of cool.
It is cool. Shut up.
Oh, God.
Hey, it's better than what I normally watch, especially on Sundays.
That's true.
So,
that's true. I'll give you that much.
Shut up. Let's see. Knock it off. That was not me, ladies and gentlemen. That was him. And now we can't hear you.
Oh, God. You can hear me.
Okay, now I can hear you.
I didn't want to get yelled at.
Let's see, what else have I been doing? I recorded a couple of toy casts. It's been an off week, so. Recorded a couple of toy casts. We had Beast Unleashed episode 24 come out. We'll be recording episode 25 of that show this week. This week is actually a busy podcasting week because we've got.
Huh? So Steve's back from vacation.
Yeah, Steve is back from vacation. He'll talk about that more in an episode that he's actually in. But, yeah, we've got to record, like, I don't know, three different shows, like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday all in a row, pretty much.
Oh, that is right. We are, and myself, I'm even recording, like, three episodes here within
24
hours, it seems like.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it's what we're recording now, Tooncast 75, and then we've got, we're going to do a... I think we're going to make it a GCR episode, or we're just going to make it like a GCR-ATTF crossover update thing, because you're going to report on the hub stuff that came out today, 10-10-10, the sign of the apocalypse. boy, am I glad they didn't wait to release the hub until 12-12-12. Holy crap.
Yeah. That would have been a long time from now, though, so I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah. Thank God there is no 13th month.
No. I think 11-11-11 will be pretty cool, just because they're all ones.
Yeah, people will get that screwed up wicked bad. Yeah, so we've got 75, which we're recording now, Tooncast 76, 77, and plus the hub stuff. So yeah, it's a busy week. Plus I've got probably a couple of toy casts and Beast Unleashed on Thursday. So yeah, it's going to be a really jam-packed week.
So those people that like listening to podcasts, you will have a plethora of things to choose from.
Yes, and let's get to today's history lesson.
Holy shitballs. Oh, wait, Batman. Damn it.
Batman.
All right. Super Friends was an American, obviously, animated television series about a team of superheroes, imagine that, which ran from 1973 to 1986 on ABC as part of its Saturday morning cartoon lineup. It was produced by Hanna-Barbera and was based on the Justice League of America and associated comic book characters published by DC Comics. Yes, folks, I am doing a podcast that has to do with DC Comics. The name of the program and the Justice League of America members featured with the Super Friends have been variously represented at different points in its broadcast history. There were a total of 109 episodes, along with two backdoor pilot episodes of the new Scooby-Doo movies with Batman and Robin appearing in the dynamic Scooby-Doo Affair and the Caped Crusader Caper. Over the years, the show has existed under several titles. It began in 73 as just the Super Friends. In 1977, it was changed to the all-new Super Friends Hour. The next season, it was called The Challenge of the Super Friends. Next season, The World's Greatest Super Friends. Then Super Friends again, just basic Super Friends. There were some lost episodes in there. And then the Super Friends, the legendary Super Powers show. And finally, in 1985, the Super Powers team, Galactic Guardians. So it is hard to keep everything straight, but that is the Super Friends. And what do you remember about them?
Which was the show that had the flashing, three flashing star balls for an interstitial?
Three flashing star balls. You've got me on that one. I thought you were going to answer a question that I was going to, or ask me a question I was going to be able to answer.
one of the incarnations, I don't know if it's Superpowers Team Galactic Guardians or if it's Legendary Superpowers show. It was one of the ones in the 80s, and it could have just been the Super Friends one that was in the 80s. There's one where they have this interstitial. It's almost like the 1966 spinning bat logo in the live action show where they use the da na 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 thing. Yeah. But this one, it showed you like a picture of like in space, like being in space, like a black sky and all these stars. And like these three star balls would come in and they would flash and it would take you from one scene. It was one of those interstitials. I don't remember which one it's from.
It's probably from the legendary superpower show, because that was a little bit more. Not far-fetched, but it was a little more, I don't know, sci-fi crazy like that, it seemed like.
Yeah.
It was just a complete guess.
Yeah. I remember seeing different, not all of the different incarnations, but different ones. I remember seeing Challenge of the Super Friends. I remember seeing the Legendary Superpowers show. And I liked it. I mean, I wasn't really... I didn't really start getting into superhero stuff, like, until, I think, 89. Mm-hmm. Which, obviously... I mean, like, I had watched the old Adam West Batman TV show. I had watched these cartoons, but, again... While these cartoons are good in their own right, it just wasn't on my radar. Yeah. I was too busy with giant robots and sword-wielding cats and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
What about you?
My recollection of comic book characters and in TV shows they were in is very hazy because at the time I didn't realize what... Like, I didn't know there was Super Friends shows or there was this or that. I remember watching shows that had Batman in them or watching shows that had Flash or Aquaman or that, you know, this or that. But my memory is not good enough for me to say that it was one of these shows versus, you know, one of the straight up Batman old, you know, like old animated cartoon shows. I did watch some of these somehow, but I couldn't, there would be no way for me to tell you which versions I was seeing, but I definitely remember seeing parts of these. I was the type of kid where I had my favorite superheroes and the other ones I had no interest in watching. So with these shows where they were all together, my interest probably would have gone up and down depending on who was featured in what episode more. I've never been a Superman fan. I've never been a Wonder Woman fan or a Robin fan.
but watch it.
I've always liked Batman, The Flash, Aquaman, and I like a lot of the bad guys. So, you know, I watched it, especially with my older brother, because he was born in 1970, so this is the stuff he kind of grew up on.
Yeah.
So I remember watching it, but I wouldn't have been able to tell you that it was, you know, the legendary superpower show versus World's Greatest Super Friends, whatever.
Right.
I wasn't paying that much of attention to it. I mean, these were... Even the last ones that came out, I was only 3 and 4 for.
Yeah.
So, it was more something I just kind of saw in passing or watched when, you know, I wasn't necessarily old enough or smart enough to realize what I was watching.
See, it's... I can understand, like, some of the earlier versions, but, like, the 85, 86 stuff, you were 5. You were 4 or 5, so,
yeah,
I mean...
At the time... I probably I probably wasn't interested in enough to pay close enough attention to realize what I was. You know, I was just watching a superhero cartoon. I didn't realize there was. To me, all the superhero cartoons kind of blend together. When I was a kid, they don't now. Obviously, I mean, it's very easy to distinguish now. But when I was a kid, I thought like it was almost like you could have just made this blanket title, like just called this superhero cartoons, and I, you know, I just thought they were all part of that. Like, I could have been watching just straight Batman shows, and you could have convinced me that it was part of a Super Friends TV series or something like that. I didn't know what was what.
Mm-hmm.
I blame ignorance. I plead ignorance. I don't blame it. I plead it.
Well,
I'm not bleeding
it. You are it, so that's okay.
I'm just surprised that I'm doing anything related to superheroes.
Yeah, well... I've already found replacements for the DC Animated Universe.
I don't dislike them.
Yes, you do. Don't lie.
I just have never been exposed to them.
Yes.
But I do have Batman Beyond set to my DVR on the new channel, The Hub.
Oh, God.
That's going to be my first exposure to Batman Beyond.
Mm. You know, you could just...
which by all accounts is a great
year. Complete series DVD set coming out November 23rd this year.
If I had money.
You have money. Anyway,
any money I have has been wasted on Transformers figures. And by wasted, I don't mean actually wasted.
On Transformers figures that are crappy.
No, the great ones. The Red Alert is the greatest classics figure I've had so far.
Anyways, so moving into the characters and voice actors here. In the core group for the Justice League of America stuff, we've got Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman.
Yes, we do. And two of those, I'm sorry. Four of those appear in all of them, right? Or do all of them appear in every single one? All of them appear in every single one. So those are the five characters that appear in every single of the 7 different series.
Okay.
And when we say 7 series, I'm not counting the lost episodes. That would be, I guess, an 8th if you wanted to count it. But
yeah,
the 7 that we mentioned before, Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman are in all of them.
Right. Actually, Aquaman's only in...
Oh, he's not in 6. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's not in six. So he's in six of the seven.
Yep. I knew there was one. I was just not looking at it right.
So you got Superman played by Danny Dark.
Who did it in all seven series, which is kind of... I think him and Casey Kasem, I believe, are the only two voice actors to do the same character in all series.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you've got Batman, who Olan Sewell played the first five series, and then, of course, Adam West played it in six and seven.
And just a quick note on those two voice actors. I know Olan Sewell, or however you say it, you know, did it for a good number of years, and it's not just me saying Adam West because he was the live action or whatever, because I didn't watch that very much, but Adam West just destroyed him in the voice of Batman.
Oh, yeah.
He makes the other guy not... I mean, the other guy doesn't even sound like Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know there's been, like, freaking 24 people that have voiced Batman over the years, but Adam West is hard to beat in this old stuff.
In the old stuff, yes, Adam West is very hard.
There's other stuff in the newer, like, 90s and, you know, 2000s or whatnot, but if you go, like, from 80s back, I think Adam West is probably the best voice of Batman.
Adam West from 1990 back,
yeah,
like back in time, from 90 to back, you know, back to the 50s and 60s, Adam West was the best Batman voice up until we found Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, and he is leading our, I have to do a plug, because BTVA Batman's voice compare was the first one we ever did. And it's by far the one with the biggest, you know, the most amount of actors, the most amount of votes and everything. And Kevin Conroy is leading that. I don't remember how much of a percentage, but.
Yeah. The additional Justice League members included the Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, the Atom, and Firestorm. Flash was played by Ted Knight and Jack Angel. Michael Rye played Green Lantern. Jack Angel played Hawkman. Hawkgirl was played by Shannon Farnan. The Atom was played by Wally... Whoa! What the hell?
Yeah, Wally Burr.
The Atom was played by Wally Burr. Wow. So that's why he started having people do 12, 14-hour voice sessions. Okay, anyway, and Firestorm was played by Mark Taylor.
Yeah, and I do have to say, The Flash, I like Ted Knight a little more than Jack Angel, even though I'm a big Jack Angel fan. Ted Knight did a pretty good job. He only voiced him in the very first series, but
yeah.
He did a good job. But out of those, I mean, those are the core good characters. There is a few more that we'll get to that are kind of like, you know, more, I don't know what you want to call them, side characters or sidekicks almost. Yeah. But out of those main 11 or so that we just talked about, Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Atom, and Firestorm, is there a particular one out of those good characters that you kind of had more of a liking to?
I always like Batman and Robin just because
yeah,
Casey Kasem and Adam West.
That makes sense.
Just because.
I always have been a Batman fan. I'm not going to say anything bad about Batman, but for some reason I always kind of liked Aquaman, The Flash, and Atom. I don't know if it's because they all had the same suit, basically. And it was kind of like aerodynamic and cool looking, like almost like a luchador from a wrestling character or whatever. But yeah. I always like, especially Aquaman and The Flash. I don't know why I liked them so much, but I did.
Yeah. I liked Firestorm.
Yeah.
I remember liking him. I remember having his action figure, so I liked him as well.
I hate Wonder Woman.
Yeah, we'll get to Wonder Woman. We'll get to her.
Okay.
Some of the side characters, which, wow, one of these... Yeah, wow. DC Comics characters who were not Justice League members in comics at the time, only on the series, were Cyborg and Rena the Jungle Girl. I don't even remember that person, but Cyborg, everybody may know him as Winston Zeddemore from Ghostbusters, but Ernie Hudson played Cyborg.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And he appeared in the final series, but yeah, Rena the Jungle Girl was kind of, I've been looking because at BTV I did all the Super Friends pages like a year and a half ago or whatever, and I cannot figure out who did her voice for the life of me. So if anyone knows who does the voice of Rena or which series she's appeared in, that'd be cool.
Yes, and then Black Vulcan was a Justice League member created for the series, played by Buster Jones.
Yeah, and the interesting note there, Hanna-Barbera had originally planned to use Black Lightning, DC Comics' first prominent black superhero, but the company learned that in order to use the character, it would have to pay a royalty fee to Tony Isabella, the writer who had created Black Lightning and wrote the Black Lightning comic book. So instead, the artist created Black Vulcan, whose powers and costume were similar to Black Lightning's, in order to avoid paying the fee.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in response, Tony Isabella wrote a story in the comic book that featured a con artist named Barbara Hanna and an imposter pretending to be Black Lightning. Oh, those people in their royalties.
Yeah. Then you also have
now we have Patch. Now we have the cultural correct diversity characters.
Yeah, Apache Chief, Samurai, and El Dorado.
I'm sorry, it's just so blatant, like. I don't know.
Yeah. One-shot Justice League appearances were made by Green Arrow, Plastic Man, Superboy, and Evan Sir.
I like Green Arrow.
I loved Green Arrow in this. I
hated Apache Chief, Samurai, and El Dorado, and Plastic Man, and Superboy. But I liked Green Arrow.
Superboy, I liked. The only reason why I liked Superboy was because Danny Dark did both the voices for Superman and Superboy.
Which is interesting, because in the episode that happened, there was a few younger versions of characters, and all the other characters, they had different voice actors do the younger version. I think it was Lex Luthor and Giganta, and there's one or two more, and they all had different voice actors, but Danny Dark did both for this one. So that's kind of impressive.
And, of course, then we have the eventual teen sidekicks and their pets, which I'm very glad that they list Robin as part of the actual heroes and not the teen sidekicks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Wendy Harris, Marvin White, Wonder Dog, Zan and Jaina, and Gleek.
And basically what you had there is you had Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog were there in the first series, and they were so bad, apparently, that they were replaced with Zan, Jaina, and Gleek then for the rest of the run, until the last two, which thank God.
Zan and Jaina are the Wonder Twins, and then Gleek is, I don't know what Gleek is, but Gleek was cool. Well, no, I know he was a monkey, but I wasn't sure, like...
He's always with the Wonder Twins.
Right, yeah.
But Frank Welker, of course, Marvin White and Wonder Dog, and Michael Bell, Zan and Gleek. But I could have done without any of these characters.
I could have done without Zan and Jaina, but I liked Gleek. Gleek was cool.
I liked the last series because it didn't have any of these guys in it. And neither did the third one, whatever the hell that one was. Challenge of the Super Friends didn't have any of them either.
Yeah.
All the good stuff.
Getting into the Legion of Doom, 13 villains composed the Legion of Doom during the Challenge of the Super Friends season. They were Lex Luthor, Solomon Grundy, Sinestro, Black Manta, Cheetah, Giganta, the Scarecrow, Toy Man, the Riddler, Bizarro, Brainiac, Captain Cold, and Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, and there's some interesting voice actors there, too. And one of them, we need to get a voice compare up on BTVA for the Scarecrow, because I just noticed we don't have one up there with Don Messick and Andre Stoica. That would be a cool voice compare, as well as all the other people that have voiced Scarecrow over the years.
Yep.
And, of course, Lex Luthor, like we mentioned, had that one episode where there was a young version of him, and Stan Jones played him in the regular series, and Michael Bell was that one time standing as the young Lex Luthor. So that was kind of interesting. I just recently watched that episode again, and that's kind of a cool episode.
Yeah. Then you had Jimmy Weldon as Solomon Grundy.
He's the voice of Yaki Doodle.
Oh!
I think. I'm pretty sure that's the voice of Yaki Doodle, which you would never think would be the same as Solomon Grundy, but I'm pretty sure he played some type of bird way back in the Hanna-Barbera days.
You had Vic Perrin as Sinestro, Ted Casti as Black Manta, Marlene Aragon as Cheetah, Ruth Foreman as Giganta. As you said, Don Messick and Andres Joko, whatever the hell. I don't know. As Scarecrow, Frank Welker was Toy Man. Michael Bell was the Riddler. Wow, that was cool. Bizarro was played by Bill Calloway. Brainiac was Ted Cassidy again. Captain Cold was Dick Ryle. And Gorilla Grodd was Stanley Ralph Ross.
And actually, Stanley Ralph Ross is my preferred voice for Brainiac, too. He did Brainiac on the last two seasons after Ted Cassidy, and Ted Cassidy just sounded too much like his self, which is basically Frankenstein. and Stan Lindelof Ross sounded a little more robotic, which obviously is the way they went with Brainiac. So I kind of like Stan Lindelof Ross a little bit better as Brainiac.
The best Brainiac ever is Corey Burton, well, but that's another show. That's another show. Yeah, I know. And then the other DC comic villains that you you also had Dr. Natas, which is a one-time member briefly mentioned in Super Friends, Rest in Peace. His adventure of the Noxium Crystal, which had the power to kill any Super Friend. Okay.
Yeah, he never appeared on screen, though.
Mm. Oh, well.
He just mentioned. They talked about him.
Yeah, and other villains.
And most of these, not to interrupt you, but most of these villains coming up are the ones that came in at the end, the last two series.
Yeah. And this is why I remember the last two series the best, because those were the two series in the 80s, the 83 and then the 84 and 85 and 86 series.
These characters are just cool.
Yeah, Darkseid, Desaad, Kalibak, the Paradrones, Bizarro's clones, Shark, Gentleman Ghost, Mr. Mitzi's... Oh, shit. Keltipsy's them. There you go. There we go.
Nice.
Mirror Master, the Joker, Royal Flush Gang, the Penguin, and Felix Faust. Oh, God.
This is all about Frank Welker.
Well, it's not all about Frank Welker. Casey Kasem played Mirror Master.
Peter Cullen played Felix Faust.
Oh, I love Peter Cullen, but Jesus Christ, I hate the character of Felix Faust.
And the Star Wars Deep Space Nine guy, Rene Auberjonois, or however the hell you say that guy's name, is Desaad.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is Frank Welker. I mean, Darkseid, Kalibak, Mr. the one you said, the Joker, and the Penguin.
Mixie's Piddling.
Yeah, and he also played one of the members of the Royal Flush Gang as well. I think it was Jack or something.
Since we're on these villains here, let's talk about Darkseid.
I love Darkseid.
Darkseid, oh God.
He is not, before you say it, he is not he is not Claw.
I wasn't even going to say it.
I hate people who tell me that Darkseid's voice is the exact same as used for Claw from Inspector Gadget. Because if you listen carefully, I know they're very similar, but there's a distinct difference if you listen to them closely.
Oh, I've seen episodes with Darkseid, so I know what that's not what I was going to say, though. This is more on the character of Darkseid in the show rather than the voice. Okay. I want people to call into the voicemail or email me at tfgmmike@gmail.com or post on our fan page over on Facebook at search Geekcast Radio Network. I don't read a lot of comics. I've never read Final Crisis. I'd never read a lot of DC books. Did Darkseid ever, in the comics, have an infatuation with Wonder Woman? Because, holy crap, Darkseid is to this series as to what Bluto is to Popeye.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm dead serious. He is constantly trying to... Every scheme Darkseid had in the series that he was in, the last two series of the Super Friends stuff, every scheme he had, his bargaining chip was only if I can date Wonder Woman, or only if she will be mine, or only if Wonder Woman will be... And it's like, holy fuck, what the hell?
Holy fuck. That's good.
Holy fuck stick, Batman, yeah, what the hell?
I guess I never noticed that or thought about it like that.
It's...
I got it. Yeah.
Back when Super Friends, when I still had Boomerang, back when Super Friends was still airing on Boomerang, every episode that they showed was an 80s episode. And it was, the majority of them was Darkseid or the other members of the Legion of Doom stuff. And every episode I saw with Darkseid, he was stalking or trying to make deals to get in Wonder Woman's pants.
It makes sense, even though I don't think Wonder Woman is... I put Wonder Woman in with olive oil and the Disney princess not to be mentioned as three of the most unappealing, unattractive, like female lead figures in cartoon history.
Okay. Now I have to just, if you're just talking about the old cartoons, I can agree with that.
Yeah. I'm just talking about the old ones. I'm not talking about
Okay. But I was going to say, if you're talking about like Justice League, she was hot in Justice League. So
yeah, I haven't seen any of the new stuff, so that's why. But I should say, I also got to mention, because I like making Star Trek references, Kalibak, who is voiced by Frank Welker in the legendary superpower show in the Galactic Guardians, the only other voice actor to ever voice Kalibak so far,
and Michael Dorn,
Worf from Star Trek, so that's awesome. Yep. But I think Michael Dorn might have done a better job than Frank Welker, so.
Oh, yes. Yes, he did. Michael Dorn was awesome.
Trying to steal my thunder, you bastard.
No.
Michael Dorn.
Michael Dorn was awesome as Kalibak.
But I like Dark. I mean, of the original villains, I always loved Lex Luthor just because I thought he was cool in the cartoons. And I always liked Brainiac. But other than that, I didn't really have a liking or an affection to any of these other bad guys. They just weren't cool enough for me to like. They were either not intimidating enough or just not cool enough. But when you get to these guys, I love Darkseid. I love Kalibak. You know, obviously the Penguin and the Joker are classic. You know, Mirror Master is pretty cool. Mr.
Makes these piddly.
Yeah, I like it when you say it. You know, he's cool. I loved the bad guys that appeared in these last two series.
Yeah. And as far as Migsy's Piddalick, the reason why I can say it correctly is because there's a way to say it. And it's Mr. Migsy's Piddalick, the imp from the fifth dimension, who is one of the Superman's arch foes, makes his Super Friends debut in this series. His name in all of the Super Friends series is pronounced Mixelplick, which is incorrect. His name is actually pronounced Migsy's Piddalick, or Kiltipsism, which is the word that sends him back to his own dimension. It's wrongly pronounced as well as Kittleism. I don't even know.
Kiltipsism
is the correct saying, but so, basically.
So even the people in the damn cartoons couldn't say it right.
I know it. I don't recognize any of these villains. Yeah,
there's some other one-shot villains that appear.
Yeah,
the only one I remember is the Dollmaker.
Well, Dracula, but I mean that. Yeah.
But Dracula and some type of vampire appear in every show ever made. So, but I do remember the Dollmaker.
And this next part is actually incorrect. So I'm assuming you got this stuff from Wiki.
Most of it, yeah.
In the animated series, Justice League Unlimited, Gorilla Grodd reforms his secret society, this time an even larger group of villains. While not called the Legion of Doom, their headquarters is a craft similar to the Hall of Doom located in a swamp. While technically that is correct what Gorilla Grodd did, the name of the episode is I Am Legion that happened in.
Okay.
So while it's not specifically said they are the Legion of Doom, they are the Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
Because Bruce Timm had even said on the Justice League DVD, I believe, somewhere, and I've got the complete series sitting right next to me, because I also do a show for us, the Secret Origins podcast, which is reviewing all 91 episodes of Justice League, and we are about to, after this next batch of episodes, we're about to get up to Legion of Doom stuff. So, nice. Yeah, they basically said it's a direct homage to Legion of Doom from Super Friends.
Okay.
So
also interesting to note that Alex Toth had originally submitted a different roster for the Legion of Doom. So instead of the 13 that we mentioned before, it included villains from the rogues galleries of both Batman and Captain Marvel, assuming that Captain Marvel would be in the show. So in the original proposal, the Legion of Doom consisted of Dr. Savannah, Abracadabra, Captain Cold, Cheetah, Gorilla Grodd, Heatwave, the Joker, Mr. Atom, Ogar, the Penguin, Poison Ivy, Sinestro, and Beauty of Savannah, the Doctor's daughter. But Filmation Associates held the rights to Captain Marvel and related characters, and most of the Batman villains were being used on the New Adventures of Batman. So the group had to be retooled, the Captain Marvel villains were dropped, and the Batman villains replaced, as were most of the Flash villains.
Right.
So, like, again, anytime you're dealing with all this stuff, there's all kinds of royalties and rights that you have to watch out for.
Oh, yes. And now we get to the supporting characters. Yay! Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, Alfred Pennyworth, Commissioner James Gordon, Hippolyta, Steve Trevor, Solovar, Perry White, and Jonathan Kent.
Of course they're going to show up. If you have 7 series worth of Super Friends stuff, at one point you're going to have to have a couple of these people.
No, I know. I just... I...
Well, a couple of those are only one-shot times, though, I believe.
Yeah.
Because James...
Lois only appears in series 3, 4, and 6.
And most of the other ones are just from one episode of the third series, because there's a couple of them where they do either... flashbacks or do different stuff, and I think those are the only times those people appear. James Gordon, Perry White, and Jonathan Kent.
Yeah.
But at least I think it's still cool that they appear.
It is cool that they appear. The sad thing is I don't remember seeing any of these guys, and I think the main reason why, and even in series 6, mm-hmm. The main reason why is because I watched a lot of I think it's series 6 and series 7 that were done in the 80s. Yeah. I watched a lot of those more than I watched the original, like, Challenge of the Super Friends and stuff like that. So I don't remember seeing I know these characters were obviously in there. Yeah. I don't remember seeing
any. You would
have
had to see specific episodes. I mean, I can't speak for all of them. Yeah. I know for a fact that Jonathan Kent only shows up, to my knowledge, in a flashback when the Legion of Doom is trying to... It's Challenge of the Super Friends, and Legion of Doom is trying to go back in time and make it so that the Super Friends either are killed or somehow don't get the powers that they eventually get.
Right.
And there's a scene where they flash back to when Superman was a Superboy or a little kid or whatever, and they show Jonathan Kent and his wife going down to pick up the baby when he's in the crater or wherever he is at. So that's the only time he appears, I believe. So some of these, it would be pretty hard for you to remember them.
Right, yeah. So who is your favorite voice out of all these?
Oh, geez. Out of all the...
All right, okay, well, let me rephrase. Favorite hero voice and favorite villain voice.
Okay. my favorite hero voice... has got to be probably Adam West as Batman. That seems like cheating, but I also like Bill Calloway's Aquaman in the last 4 or so series. I like those two guys. A lot of the one thing about the Super Friends ones, especially at the beginning of the first couple series, I did not care for a lot of the voices. I did not like Olan Sule or whatever his voice for Batman. I didn't like Norman. I like Norman Alden, but I didn't like his Aquaman. A lot of the ones at the beginning just seemed like they didn't fit the character.
Right.
But Adam West, Bill Calloway, like I said, Ted Knight as the Flash were kind of some of my favorites. As far as the bad guys, it would have to be Stan Jones with Lex Luthor. Probably Vic Perrin as Sinestro. And Frank Welker as Darkseid.
Yeah. For me, for heroes, it just comes down to Batman and Robin, Adam West and Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Because I think those were some of the best specifically those characters.
Yeah.
That was some of the best. Obviously, Adam West was the old Batman. And,
right.
You know, I don't know if they... I wonder why they never got Burt Ward to do Robin. Because if you think about it, if they had originally went to Adam West and said, hey, would you like to be a voiceover artist for Batman? And I'm wondering why they wouldn't have gone to Burt Ward to get the two of them back together to, be on the show. It would have been cool.
I do have to say, I'm not to kind of steal your favorite voices or whatever, but I respect that people like Casey Kasem. For some reason... I am not a Casey Kasem fan. I don't know if it's because he uses the same voice every time he does anything, which is a kick-ass voice. He's got one of the best voices in history. But he does use the same one in everyone, and I don't like that he uses his roles in cartoons to basically advance his viewpoints and his political – not political, but his agendas. He, every time he has a problem with something, he basically goes on strike from being the voice of a character, refuses to show up on the series. And, I love him as a commentator. I love him as an MC, as a radio guy. I'm just not a big fan of him as a voice actor.
Well, that only happened on Transformers, though, didn't it?
No, it happened on Scooby-Doo once.
Really?
Yeah, because he was a big vegetarian or something, and he had a problem with Scooby-Doo eating too much meat, or I don't remember what it was. It was something stupid. But no, I understand why people like him, and I love his voice. I just wish when you compare voice actors, someone that can do multiple voices to me is way better than someone that can do one voice great, but only that voice. Well, I mean, there's never been a character that he's played that you don't know it's him.
And see, that's what's great about it, because no, seriously, because honestly, you know, when you think about Casey Kasem, first of all, the first thing that comes to my mind was either American Top 40 or American Top 20.
Oh, I love that part about him.
Right, right. But I'm just saying, when you think of Casey Kasem, the guy, the person that he is, yeah, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. And then most people would think of either Cliff Jumper or Shaggy.
Yeah.
And then Robin. But the thing is, a lot of the times with a lot of voice actors, when I do research for like whether it's this show or whether it's any other podcast, I go through the credits and all, yeah, the IMDb and all that stuff, and it's like, oh wow, he was in that. Oh wow, he was in that. Right. Holy crap, I had no idea he was the voice of that. And it doesn't, with Casey specifically, he is the type of voice actor that he doesn't need to change his voice, because you want that iconic voice,
yeah,
for whatever.
I just wish he would have been like Dick Clark and just stuck to all the radio and the music and all that stuff. American Bandstand or Top 40 or this or that.
All right, so.
But no, I respect that you like him, because I understand why. I'm just, for some reason, not a big fan.
All right. Okay, well, going back to what you said earlier, you prefer someone who
can change their
voice actor who can do multiple voices.
That's why Michael Bell's not one of my favorite voice actors. I love Michael Bell, but I wouldn't put him, you know, as my number one favorite ever, because he does more than Casey Kasem as far as changing his voice, but he can't compete with, you know, I mean, it's cheating saying Frank Welker, because he's like on a different planet, but
yeah,
but even like a Peter Cullen changes his voice more than Michael Bell does.
Not really.
Well.
Not real. Peter Cullen.
If you go to his page on BTVA and listen to all the sound clips we have, you'll hear some differences. I know he does use his one voice a lot, because he has that tenor, you know, that intonation, which you can usually hear, but he does change his voice a little bit more than Michael Bell does.
The only time that I have ever heard Cullen ever change his voice was for Eeyore. He was more slow.
Well, Montgomery, or not Montgomery.
In the delivery of it.
The what's his name? The dude from Chippendale's Rest, Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack. He's a little okay, I'll give you Monterey. I'll give you Monterey, but yeah, outside of Monterey Jack and Eeyore.
Right.
Every time I hear Peter Cullen, whether it's Optimus Prime or somebody else, I know it was him.
That was a bad example.
Only one that I didn't really know at the time was Karan from Lion Force, Voltron.
Yeah.
Because it did change a little bit. But, I mean, for the most part.
Yeah, I use that as a bad example. I mean, he does change his voice a little bit more, but he's also someone kind of like Casey Kasem, who has a voice that he doesn't need to change that much.
Exactly. I mean, you know.
And he's very much like Jim Cummings and a couple people like that.
Yeah. Barry Gordon's a perfect example.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Donatello from the old Turtle series, you know, he that is his voice.
Right. Cam Clark, same way.
Well, I've never
talked
to Cam, so. Well, I know who Cam is, but.
As far as his Turtle's voice and his He-Man voice from the
02 series. Yeah.
Yeah, we're getting off track.
So I guess getting into the behind-the-scenes segment here. Well, my nose is giving me problems. holy crap.
The major directors that we've heard of, Charles A. Nichols. Obviously, there's a lot of people listed here because or a lot of people that directed or wrote since it was over, you know, a couple decades here. But Charles A. Nichols is a director that a lot of people have heard of. Carl Urbano. Those are the two that I've heard of. I don't know if there's any on the director's list that you've heard of besides those two.
Let me look here. Nope, that's it.
Yeah. There is a bunch of writers, obviously, though, since it had over 100 episodes. There's, you know, most writers don't do more than 10 or 20 episodes for any given show, no matter what it is. So you do have a plethora of writers, and there's actually about a dozen, well, maybe not a dozen, but five or six that are fairly well known.
Yeah.
Dick Robbins, I've heard of. Michael Reeves did a lot of shit in the 80s.
Yeah.
Dwayne Poole, Bob Kane, Jerry Siegel. Those are some of the names that kind of stick out to me.
Wait. Holy crap. Are you serious?
What's that?
Bob Kane, Joe Shuster, and Jerry Siegel wrote episodes for these?
Yep.
Wow.
Somewhere along the line, I wouldn't be able to tell you which series or which episode.
Right, but I mean, it's stuff about their the characters they created. So Batman, you know, Batman in his universe and Superman in his universe. Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Huh. I guess I'll... You can take the writing, and I'll take the production history.
All right. As far as writing goes, some other notes. There's plot lines for the first incarnation of Super Friends did not involve any of the familiar DC comic supervillains. So rather, they focused on often far-fetched schemes of various mad scientists and aliens who were revealed at some point in the program to be well-intentioned but pursuing their goals through an unlawful or disreputable means. Typically, at the end, all that is needed is peaceful and reasonable discussion to convince the antagonist to adopt more reasonable methods. This is one reason why I don't like the first couple series as much, because it's almost... not like the Scooby-Doo way to go things, but it's basically just choosing these random villains that are just citizens doing bad stuff, where if you're doing a Super Friends, if you have superheroes, you need super villains. Like, yeah. Bottom line, and that's what was missing in the first two series. I don't know whose decision that was, but it was a bad decision. And then with the all-new Super Friends Hour, it kind of departed somewhat away from the previous series formula by using villains that used much more violent methods to further their goals and typically could not be reasoned with, requiring the heroes to use force to stop them. But again, still no super villains. So maybe they were a little bit more violent, a little more like criminal type stuff, but still no super villains. And then it was with that third series, Challenge of the Super Friends, where several of the heroes' arch-villains from the comic books, such as Lex Luthor and the Riddler, began to feature or show up basically in the stories. So that's why it gets better as it goes through. And if you're going to watch one of the series, you know, that's why watching Challenge of the Super Friends or the later versions is probably the better way to go.
Right. I think, you know, like you said, the first two series really didn't, you know, didn't capture what it was supposed to capture.
It would be fine if it was some type of other show, but not with a superhero show.
Yeah,
especially when so many good villains exist and people know about them. It's not like it's not like you're writing a new superhero and you're starting him off with dealing with people before he actually gets an arch nemesis, like some type of origin type story. That would be different, but these are people, established characters that we know the bad guys. And that'd be like making a Batman movie right now and putting nobody, no Riddler, no Penguin, no Joker, you know, none of those guys.
Well, they won't use Joker.
Well, I'm just saying, but if like before Dark Knight and before Batman Begins came out, if they would have made a Batman movie and had none of those people, you'd
it wouldn't
be like,
a Batman movie.
You'd be like, "What was that? What the hell did I just watch?" Like,
that's almost better. That's almost worse than Batman and Robin.
Well, you can either do that, or you can go with whatever the hell movie it was where they put 8,000 villains in it with Arnold, and
that was Batman and Robin.
They put 1,000 villains in it and killed it. Sorry,
it was. It was Batman and Robin with Batgirl, and then you had Poison Ivy and Ice. Freeze as the villains. That was, yeah, Batman and Robin. Yeah.
Sorry.
So, as far as production history, when the animation company Hanna-Barbera licensed the animation rights to DC Comics characters and adapted the Justice League of America comic book for television, it made several changes in the transition, not the least of which were the change of name to Super Friends. Nevertheless, the team members sometimes referred to themselves as the Justice League on the show. The violence common in superhero comics was toned down for a younger audience, as well as to fit with the restrictive broadcast standards regarding the violence in 1970s children's television.
Yeah.
So I think what you just said about the first two series... now, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, the 70s was probably the worst time to try to do a superhero show.
Yeah, true.
Because if you would have done it before, the censors weren't really up on things. You know, in the 50s and 60s, you could get away with a lot more. 70s when the hammer came down, and it was just a bad time to try to do a comic book. Because, like it says, you know, comic books are violent because they can get away with it. And so if you're going to have a comic series... you need some of that violence to be in the series.
Yes. Now we can move on to the actual show.
Oh, God.
Take it away.
Basically, we're just going to give you a little snippet on, hopefully a little snippet on each of the versions, so we'll try to make it as quick and painless as possible. the first one, obviously, was 73 to 74, Super Friends, September 8th, 1973 on ABC, and we already said who it featured. Shortly before the Super Friends series was developed, Superman and Wonder Woman also guest starred in two episodes of The Brady Kids. And like we said, Batman and Robin appeared in two episodes of the new Scooby-Doo movies. Each episode would begin with the heroes responding to an emergency detected by the massive Trouble Alert Computer, Teletran 1. I mean, massive Trouble Alert Computer that was situated within the Hall of Justice, which was basically their headquarters. Colonel Wilcox, a U.S. Army official, was a recurring character who would work as a government liaison to the Super Friends during emergencies. And that was basically the gist of it. You had a scientist or a madman that came up with some type of, you know, plot or was trying to do something, and the computer would tell the Super Friends that something was up, and, you know, that was it. The first run of Super Friends consisted of 16 one-hour episodes that were rerun several times. So that's just about it for the first series.
Yeah, and then in the second series, you had the all-new Super Friends Hour. Featured four animated shorts per program, which followed a basic format each week. The first segment of every show featured two of the heroes for the purposes of the team-ups. In the first and fourth segments, Batman and Robin were considered one hero.
Wow. Ambiguously gay duo. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
Oh, God. I can't believe you just said that.
They said they were considered one hero. The first thing that came to my mind was Ambiguously Gay Duo. Sorry.
It's better than... never mind. I'm not even going to go there. No, I'll go ahead and say it anyway. It's better than over at World's Finest Podcast, Michael David Sims, a few times when they were doing their Batman the Animated Series reviews, would always make the mistake of saying, "I love Dick."
Oh, God.
Because he really likes the Dick Grayson character and Nightwing and all that stuff. So,
okay. So that was the first segment, either Batman and Robin as one or a team-up of other heroes.
Oh, God, yeah. In addition to between segments, there were additional short spots with members of the Super Freds, giving basic safety lessons and providing basic first aid advice, demonstrating magic tricks, creating crafts, and presenting two-part riddle featuring the week's primary plot line. Boring. This is also the first season to feature villains that appeared in the comic books Black Manta and Gentleman Ghost. Black Manta's costume was not black, and he was only referred to as Manta. And both he and Gentleman Ghost only appeared in one episode this season.
So then we had the 1978 season, which was basically all new Super Friends / Challenge of the Super Friends. So it featured two programs within the extended format. Super Friends show was a half-hour segment, and then followed by the Challenge of the Super Friends, which was also 1.5 hour in length. And in my opinion, Challenge of the Super Friends is probably the best out of all of them.
Yeah, I agree.
I really like the 80s ones that come later, but Challenge of the Super Friends was just cool. It was a cool setup to have the 13 Legion of Doom members. It was cool to have an extended roster of heroes. And I just like the different plots and seeing the villains team up together, because that's something you hadn't really seen. I mean, you see bad guys, usually one, maybe two at the most, but you didn't see a big group of bad guys teaming up and working together, and that was kind of cool. So I'm a big fan of Challenge of the Super Friends.
I am too. Let's see. Despite the Riddler showing a set of playing cards with from left to right, Gleek, Zan, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Robin, and Batman and Superman, that he then burns to ash in his introduction and wanted the Super Friends, Wonder Twins, and Gleek did not appear in Challenge.
Okay. I forgot about that.
That's interesting. Let's see. The 1979-80s series season was the world's greatest Super Friends. In the fall of 1979, the Super Friends returned to their prior format and brought back the original set of five DC superheroes, along with Zan, Jaina, and Gleek, back to an hour length as well. Only 8 new episodes were created during this run, with the majority of the season consisting of repeats of the all-new Super Friends Hour from 1977-78. The renamed World's Greatest Super Friends, this series began on September 22nd, 79, and ran until September 27th, 1980.
And then we have the first half of the 80s, and the first half of the 80s is really kind of convoluted because of...
Very convoluted.
Yeah, because of just what... I mean, you have 1980-82 seasons is called Super Friends, and then we have the Best of the Super Friends, which ran right after it, but it's all reruns. And then you have cancellation and lost episodes. So just mention a few things about the lost episodes in case people are wondering what the heck we're talking about. Basically, by 1983, Hanna-Barbera had created a syndication package of the earlier Super Friends series, and these were picked up by various stations across the U.S., you know, typically broadcast afternoons when kids are getting out of school. Not wishing to compete with the syndication programming, ABC dropped the series from the 1983-84 Saturday morning television lineup. So for the second time, Super Friends was canceled. But during this period, Hanna-Barbera continued to produce new episodes of the Super Friends. So in total, 24 of these so-called lost episodes were animated, but never aired in the United States that season. So the series did appear in Australia, though. Three of these episodes were aired when Super Friends returned, but the remainder of the episodes didn't air until 1995 as part of the Superman Batman Adventure shows, but they are now available on DVD, I believe.
DVD, yeah, they are.
So,
and we'll get to that once we get to that part.
So that,
but yeah.
So that's kind of the, when this gets canceled, when Super Friends gets canceled the second time, that's kind of marks a transition. Everything that happened before 84 is kind of very similar, and then these two series that come after it are kind of their own, to me, they have their own identity.
Oh, yeah. So from 84 to 85, we had Super Friends, the legendary superpowers show. Super Friends returned to ABC on Saturday, September 8th, 1984, with a new 30-minute program that typically featured two 11-minute stories per episode. This incarnation featured Superman, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, and the Wonder Twins, and Gleek. This time, teamed up with Firestorm. In addition to this core group, episodes during this season also featured some cameos by old and new Super Friends. The program lasted one season until August 31st, 1985. This series featured various villains from the comic books, such as Brainiac, Lex Luthor, Mirror Master, Mixter Mixkegel, Mixes Plitic. It featured Mixie, damn it.
Whoever invented that guy's name has been laughing for decades.
I know it. As well as Darkseid and his henchmen from Apocalypse, and made all made appearances. This season and one to follow featured the Superpowers tag, which was part of a marketing tie-in with a toy line of the same name produced by Kenner.
Have you ever seen any of the Kenner toys for this?
I actually owned them.
Oh, okay, we'll get to that later then.
Yeah!
The last series is, of course, the Superpowers team Galactic Guardians, which is sometimes missed by a lot of people that look, you know, because it's not called Super Friends. It's the only one that doesn't really have Super Friends in it somewhere, I think.
Right.
Superpowers Team Galactic Guardians. In the fall of 85, this next version basically came on. The series returned to a conventional lineup for the team with a focus on the teen members, Cyborg and Firestorm. Once again, they're headquartered at the Hall of Justice in Metropolis. The heroes battled such familiar foes as Lex Luthor, Brainiac, and Scarecrow, as well as Darkseid. It also contained the first and only appearances by the Joker, the Penguin, the Royal Flush Gang, and Felix Faust. The tone of Galactic Guardians was notably more serious than Super Friends had been in the past, and it featured the first televised depiction of Batman's origin in the episode entitled The Fear.
Right.
The superpower team Galactic Guardian lasted one season and was ultimately canceled. The final new episode aired was The Death of Superman, which originally aired November 6, 1985. This third cancellation would prove to be the final one, and Galactic Guardians marked the end of Hanna-Barbera's 13-year run of the series when it last aired September 30th, 1986. In syndication, this series is listed under just the Super Friends name.
Yeah.
And that's my second favorite one, is the Galactic Guardians. I mean, Legendary Superpower Team is good too, but I basically would say if you're going to watch any of these, Challenge of the Super Friends and Galactic Guardians are your two best.
Oh, yeah. I agree. So I guess moving on to the music segment, White Curtain. That's pretty much all we have to say is White Curtain.
White Curtain, and, moving on.
And Will Schaefer. So those are the two unknown.
It's Hanna-Barbera people. What do you expect?
Yeah, the theme songs, because they all varied, and I've found different versions of it. I don't know which versions I've found, but
none of them are too great.
No, not really.
I mean, they're good, but they're, you know, they're classic, and they, you know, they remind you of it, but it's nothing to write home about.
No, not at all. So getting into the legacy segment here.
My favorite part.
Ladies and gentlemen, the feature, the debut of the IGN replacement crew.
Coming soon. 65 years in the future.
Yes, exactly.
In January 2009, IGN, those bastards. Listed Super Friends, anybody have a guess? Yeah, the 50th. 50th best animated television series in their top 100. Which,
well,
it might not be that bad of a ranking on this one.
No.
I mean, I guess it's lucky it got in, since so many other classic stuff didn't get in there.
Yeah.
But I guess when it's on for 13 years and it involves superheroes, they had to put it in.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You want to talk about your favorite character there? The Plastic Man Comedy Adventure Show?
This is one of the spinoffs that came from the Super Friends, the Plastic Man Comedy Adventure Show. Yeah. He appeared in one episode of the first season. Later, Ruby and Spears released a series starring the character in his own solo adventures. Why did they pick the Plastic Man? There was other people they could have picked. Probably not because of rights. The Plastic Man is actually directly linked to the world's greatest Super Friends episode, The Super Friends Meet Frankenstein. Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it. There's a spin-off show called The Plastic Man Comedy Adventure Show. Don't watch it.
A Batman animated series was also considered in the mid-80s, presumably with Adam West reprising the role as the voice of Batman. The Fear was written as a pilot episode for the series, but it was instead adapted into an episode of the Superpowers team Galactic Guardians. Yeah. The New Teen Titans. I honestly don't care.
There was also going to be a 1983 New Teen Titans comic or something that was going to happen, but I don't care about the Teen Titans. I don't care about miniature versions of superheroes.
Some I like, some I don't. Teen Titans is no. Superman was supposedly had to have had a 1988 series. Just 2 years after the final season of Super Friends, a new series created by Ruby Spears Productions that featured a solo Superman aired on CBS. The episode called Superman and Wonder Woman versus the Sorceress of Time. Wonder Woman guest stars as, and B.J. Ward reprises her role as Wonder Woman.
So there was a variety of spin-offs that happened because of the Super Friends, obviously, and, you know, like superheroes, they're always being remade and have a new incarnation, whether it be TVs, movies, games, whatever. They're always happening.
Yes. Getting into some parodies here, I guess since I really don't care for that 70s show, you can take that one.
I don't
one.
Really care for it either, but Super Friends was spoofed in an episode with the dream sequence where the Super Pals made fun of Eric Superman because Donna's Wonder Woman had given him a ring as a gift. I got it at the mall, she exclaims. The episode features Eric Foreman as Superman, Donna as Wonder Woman, Kelso as Batman, Fez as Aquaman, and Hyde and Jackie as the Wonder Twins. Red is also featured as their nemesis, Dr. Bald, wearing Lex Luthor's green and purple costume. It's that 70s show, so I do give him credit for making reference to a cartoon that was majorly popular in the 70s.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, God. Fez as Aquaman?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, Christ. Oh, God. Okay, so
been,
moving
shouldn't
on.
He have been whatever? What was the Mexican guy?
Oh.
The Mexican superhero?
El Dorado?
Yeah, shouldn't he have been El Dorado?
I don't know. So, moving on, in Justice League, in Secret Origins Part 3, when Superman proposes the idea of a team, Flash responds, "What? You mean like a bunch of super friends?" Superman says, "No, more like a Justice League." And then, of course, in Justice for All, during a battle in an abandoned Disney store-style emporium, a statue of Wonder Twins can be seen in the background and is one of the first things demolished in the fight with Luthor's Injustice Gang, which included Legion of Doom members Cheetah and Solomon Grundy.
That's almost worth watching just to see the Wonder Twins get demolished.
Oh, dude. You need to watch Justice League. Seriously.
Whenever I get a few months free, I'll do that.
No, you seriously need to watch Justice League because that show is easily the best superpower team show ever.
I'll take your word for it.
It just is. And also in Justice League Unlimited in Ultimatum, the first season episode of the Cartoon Network television series featured the Ultimate, a group of superheroes that are... what the
I don't
hell?
Have a damn clue. They're very unique.
They're basically a copy of the Super Friends.
Yeah.
the members were Long Shadow, based on Apache Chief, Wind Dragon, Samurai, Juice, Black Vulcan, Downpour, Xana the Wonder Twins, and Shifter, Jaina of the Wonder Twins. The headquarters of the Ultimate, although on top of a skyscraper, resembled the Super Friends Hall of Justice. And the episode Ultimatum also featured the Lava Men, monsters from Season 7 of Super Friends. Batman, can you communicate with them, Aquaman? Do they look like fish to you? I love that line. Of note is also the DLU heroes featured in this episode with the lineup of the original Super Friends, except Robin, due to the concurrent Teen Titans and Batman cartoons. The DC and Warner Brothers mandated that no Bat character other than Batman himself could be used in JLU, which sucks. The Ultimate also used the wholesome language of the Super Friends and the 1960s Batman series, referring to the Justice League, specifically Batman, as old chums and giving heavy-handed monologues and civic responsibility, which even Boy Scout Superman calls corny. Justice League is just... It's easily the best superhero team-up cartoon ever.
Okay.
It just is.
I think you like that show.
Yes. Now go listen to the Secret Origins podcast, damn it. Okay.
There's also some various other spoofs and parodies, most notably South Park, which obviously spoofs everything. And then a great show called Family Guy does.
Oh, God, I hate that fucking show.
There's about 7 or 8 episodes that do things on Family Guy, which is one of the greatest adult animated cartoons ever.
That show does nothing but suck on Matt Groening's dick.
No, it's a great show.
No, it's not.
The Simpsons.
It sucks.
Way better than The Simpsons.
No.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force. There's, a bunch of different stuff that spoofs or parodies Super Friends.
Yeah, I'll take this one because you don't like it. Justice Friends, one of the backup segments in Dexter's Laboratory, was called Justice Friends. The title is derived from the Justice League and Super Friends, and the series makes many references in sitcom style to the superficial plotlines of the Super Friends shows. However, the characters are parodies of Marvel Comics' Avengers team, the Marvel equivalent of the Justice League Super Friends. I love that.
Talk about damn Dexter's Laboratory, but not Family Guy.
Whatever. Dexter's Laboratory seriously outdoes Family
Not
Guy.
Not in a million years.
Yes, yes.
Okay, time for some DVD releases before I punch Mike in the face.
It'd be kind of hard to do since we live in 2 different states, you ass.
Twat face. DVD releases. The very first one, we have a Warner Home Video to release Super Friends Season 1, Volume 1. This is just this past January 2010. Volume 1 was a 2-disc set of the first 8 episodes, and it's about $26, $27 if you want to pay full price. There's also DVDs for the all-new Super Friends. There's 2 of those, which contain 60 cartoons total, but only 15 actual episodes.
Yeah, and then we've got... you got Challenge of the Super Friends... And then you've got Super Legendary Superpowers show is on DVD as well as the complete series. And then you've got Galactic Guardians as the complete series as well.
And, of course, the Lost episodes.
Yeah, and, of course, the Lost episodes.
And those have all been released recently. I mean, besides Challenge of the Super Friends was like 2004, 2005. All the other ones have been basically
released here
in the last two or three years. So they're all should be pretty good quality. I don't own any of them. I assume you might own.
No,
you don't own it. But they should be good quality. I can't speak to the bonus features or whatnot, but I'm assuming, animation wise and visually, they should be pretty good.
Yeah. So,
talk about the toys.
The toys. I forgot about the toys. Where the hell's the toys listed? I didn't even see it on here.
No, that's not listed.
Oh,
so that's why you didn't see it. So, talk about your Kenner toys.
So, yeah, I actually had to pull up the article, the listing of the wiki article. I remember having these things. I specifically remember having, let me see here. I'm trying to see if there's a picture of Batman. I specifically remember having Superman and Batman. It was just very, very cool. Very, very awesome. I had Aquaman, Batman, Green Lantern. I believe I had the Joker, Lex Luthor, Robin. I had a Superman. I didn't have any of the villains. I had Green Arrow. Green Arrow was a cool figure. And these all had action gimmicks.
Yeah.
Like Aquaman had a deep sea kick. Batman had a bat punch. Brainiac had a computer kick.
Oh my God.
Green Arrow obviously had archery pull. It was very, very, very cool. All very, very cool. So, and of course, they had vehicles as well. They had the Batcopter, the Batmobile, Darkseid Destroyer, Delta Probe 1, Justice Jogger. I believe I had the Batmobile, but I don't remember. Not sure. So,
how do the figures compare to like other action figures about the same size? I mean, are these figures like G.I. Joe size? Are they bigger?
Let me see here. History of the Line, 1984, DC Comics, Order of the Master. Each figure in the first two series were also packaged with mini comic featuring that character's adventures.
Like just size wise.
That's what I'm looking for.
You had a couple of them.
I used to. Oh. I don't have them now.
Your memory does not tell you what size they were. You bastard child. I didn't mean to stump you. My bad.
Yeah. I had them when I was a kid. I remember having them, but I don't have them now.
All right. So anybody that has them,
yeah,
talk to us about them. I imagine they would be a little bit maybe bigger than the G.I. Joe figures.
The G.I. Joe figures are what?
3 3/4.
Yeah. They're like 3 3/4 inch figures. Oh, okay. I would assume they are. Again, I don't remember. I remember that one of the greatest things about like Batman and Superman was it was like a hard plastic body, but the capes were felt or fabric. Okay. And they were like cloth capes, so that was kind of cool. I think they were. I could be wrong. Like I said, it's been a long time.
I gotcha. And you've had a lot of action figures and toys since then.
Yes, exactly. I think the only thing I can really remember about action figures when I was a kid at this point is me wearing my Born in the USA shirt, laying on the couch, talking to my grandmother, holding my Batman figure. That's about the only thing I can remember.
I definitely never had any of these toys, so.
But Kenner does great. Kenner used to do great stuff, so.
Kenner's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we're going to go to some break here, and we'll be back with our...
My ass hurts. Just kidding. <Jeez. it doesn't>.
Whatever. Okay, so on that note...
Dreamcast will be back after these messages!
The meeting will come to order. The Legion of Doom is now in session. In a short while, the super... Brainiac.
I was wondering, Luthor, if I could perhaps get a pair
What we need are a few items to help us in our perfect plan to stop the Super Friends.
Cheetah, you have razor-sharp claws. Brainiac, your mind games are deadly. Scarecrow, you're made of straw. What more do you need?
How about utility belt?
What? Batman and Robin have them. Solomon Grundy want one, too.
With utility belt. Bizarro, we'll crush the Super Friends.
Crush them!
I want a magic lasso, Lex.
Can I get a seahorse?
I demand more toys!
Oh, enough of this! What do I look like, Santa Claus? We're wasting valuable time. Right now, my dream reverberator is changing the Super Friends into our slaves.
Excuse me.
Brainiac, what is it?
Look, I just want some pants. A decent pair of pants.
Solomon Grundy want pants too.
I go cuckoo for cuckoo puffs while listening to Dreamcast.
This is Dr. Wily, and I will destroy Mega Man while listening to Dreamcast.
The folks over at geekcastradio.com, and I want you to listen to it because it's the world's first Beast Wars and Beast Machines review podcast. If you don't listen to it, I will send my vehicles to remove your sparks and destroy you. So from now on, you will listen and tune into the Beast Unleashed.
Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. I see a new episode of Dreamcast. coming this week.
Now back to Dreamcast.
You know, we are recording this, right?
I just tried to get a rat bastard in there. I want it to be in the record. Better than what I usually call you.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. So, final thoughts on all of the Super Friends cartoons here.
You know, like I said, I don't have, like, strong memories of this from when I was a kid. But some of the Super Friends are definitely still watchable now. I wouldn't watch the first couple series because those are pretty dated. The voice acting's not real great. And there's no real good villains to watch. But I would suggest, you know, Challenge of the Super Friends or the later 80s ones, the Legendary Superpowers Team or Galactic Guardians, because those, the voice acting's better. Those are just classic superhero cartoons with super villains as well. So, you know, for someone who doesn't get into, I mean, I love superhero movies and I watch them all, but I've never been a comic book person for whatever reason. So I just never watched the comic book style cartoons. From someone like that saying that Super Friends is worth watching should tell you that it's some good stuff, but you got to be careful of which series you watch and sometimes which episodes you watch, because it's kind of hit or miss if you just take all 100 and some episodes. But if you focus on one specific series, like I said, the ones that I mentioned, usually you're going to be all right and you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, you know, I agree. This is something nowadays. I mean, it was great, like when I was a kid, because it was the only superhero cartoon type stuff that we had back then. Back in the when I was a young kid, back in the 80s. But
yeah,
you know, I mean, as far as like actual superhero cartoons, this was it. You know, you have your other hero cartoons like Thundercats and Transformers and Voltron and He-Man and all that stuff.
Right.
But, I'm trying not to make a certain cop joke.
Silverhawk and whatnot.
Yeah. Those are not heroes. Yeah, those are metal birds.
Kick-ass heroes.
Anyway.
Metal and fly.
Anyway.
Did we just become best friends? Yes.
No.
I'm just kidding.
No, not at all.
You rat bastard.
I hate you. What are you doing on my podcast? But, yeah. Like you said, you got to be careful with which series of Super Friends stuff you watch. I do not suggest getting all of these DVDs and watching them back to back to back. It's better watching the show in moderation.
Yes, what? I agree with that 100%.
Well, I'm just saying.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, I guess before we close this train wreck of a show that we have here, I wanted to
we didn't make any kidnapping rapist jokes.
Well,
it can't be that big of a train wreck.
Dark Side, technically.
That's true. I guess we did. Never mind. That better not be a theme for the rest of the show.
Well, not next week's show anyway.
I hope not. Good Lord.
I mean, technically, you could count that blue nose guy, but other than that,
the fact that they only show Nanny from the waist down.
Hey. Oh God. Yeah,
I'm
that's
sorry. Say whatever you're going to say before I get even more.
That's harking back to Tom and Jerry days.
Oh jeez.
But yes. So thank you for joining us.
Weren't you going to say something before you did that?
Oh yeah. Why don't you tell us your note that you received from a certain voice actor?
Oh yeah. Well, I was trying to, being the sleuth, the reporter that I am, I was trying to get the inside scoop on.
Bullshit.
I'm always trying to find stuff about cartoons and whatnot before other people do, so I can be like, hey, everybody, look at this shit. So since Larry Kenny is my friend on Facebook as well as yours and a bunch of other people's, obviously. I thought, well, what the heck? It's been a long time since the one time I had talked to him, or not talked to him, or I saw a message from him. He had mentioned something about recording the very first pilot episode of the new Thundercats. And that's right. Been a long time ago now. And at the time, he didn't know much else. I thought, you know, that's been a couple months. Why not try to send him a message on Facebook and just see if he's, you know, if he knows any more, if he can reveal any more of the cast? Because so far, we only know two cast members on the show, him and the voice of Panther.
Tigra.
Tigra, yeah. Thank you. So I just sent a message, said, you know, is there anything new you can tell us? I wanted to know if he was only in the pilot or if he was in more, you know, that type of stuff. And he basically sent me a message, and I'm trying to find it now. hold on 2 seconds. Well, I was not prepared. Thundercats, there we go. Got to go to the right file here. Basically, this is what he said. He said, hey Kevin, I recorded 3 episodes of the new Thundercats series, so that was news to me. That's cool. He said, all I'm able to tell you is that the show will be fantastic, great scripts, incredible animation, and a fabulous cast. I'm sure everyone will love it, old and new fans alike. So it wasn't, you know, a lot of news or anything, but at least we know that he was on 3 of the episodes, and, you know, it seems like everything went well, and that if he was impressed, and he knows... he's had enough interviews with diehard Thundercats fans that he kind of has a feel for the fandom.
What we want, yeah.
So if he's saying that it's going to be good, my hopes are high.
Yes. All right. So thank you for joining us here on Tooncaster. So always get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each episode post. Join the forums, predicantempire.com/nexus. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. We have a new iTunes review.
Woo-hoo!
I believe, I cannot pronounce this guy's screen name on iTunes, but I believe it's from Toon Master Tim. If it's not, I'm sorry. Cartoon lovers, listen up. Fans of cartoons from the 80s, 70s, 60s, and earlier, many of which ran in syndication later, will feel right at home with this podcast. I discovered the podcast around episode 70, but I have eagerly gone back and listened to the older episodes. The show has a good format, a history lesson of the show, with little known facts, discussion about the show based on memories, host. He basically goes through our whole
format.
You know,
he's giving me props.
Yeah, yeah. The show has had since airing. As a listener, I feel like I am a participant in the show. Not having many friends to discuss my love of these shows I grew up with that were such an important part of my childhood. If you enjoy this show, check out other shows from the Geekcast Radio Network. So it was very, very cool.
Thank you for your review.
Yes, leave us reviews on iTunes, people. We want more reviews.
And we'll read them on the air.
Yes. And as long as you have a screen name on iTunes that we can actually, you know, pronounce, we will pronounce that screen name.
So do it.
Yes, do it. Do it now.
Do work, people.
That's right. We do enough work. It's time for you people to work.
Oh, God.
Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is GCRN Tooncast. It's all one word. Minus TFQ and Mike, what is your Twitter?
BOSSKDAWG.
Become a fan on Facebook. Search Geekcast Radio Network. We are still running our Stan Bush prize giveaway. You could, if you help us get to 300 fans on Facebook, 2 of those fans will be drawn at random to receive a Stan Bush prize pack, which includes an autographed CD of his new album, Dream the Dream, and a t-shirt.
Do it.
Do it now.
Yes.
Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tooncast and wish you'll join us next time. We'll be reminiscing on The Muppet Babies.
Minus the rapist.
Stupid fucking Gonzo. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Optimus Solo from BehindTheVoiceActors.com.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Is everything all right in here?
Yes, yes. Yes.